Welcome to the 16th episode of the 6th season of the Ubuntu podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk to Daniel Foray, and we're going to do something else.
Command line love.
Sorry. We'll also read your feedback. If you're listening live, you can send us messages using the chat facility on the website and in the IRC channel. I'm Laura, and joining me are Mark.
Hello.
And Tony.
Hello.
Alan's still on a boat somewhere.
Yes. God, that's a long boat trip.
It is. I wonder if he's sunk.
Such a Why lovely would you thought. Say that?
I've now got a vision of him stood at the front of the boat. Near far.
I'm the king. As the narrow boat breaks into you and sinks to the bottom of the canal.
Of the 3 foot deep canal. Alan's there with Davy's arms around him.
Holding him on the prow.
Please, we don't need
throwing
that
their jewellery into the canal. Because that's what happened in the movie.
Okay. So, Mark, what have you been doing?
I built a new computer. Well, I didn't quite build a new computer.
It's quite old school.
I upgraded my old computer. So I built a computer many years ago, and the graphics card was quite old, so it didn't really play new games very well. But also, ATI have stopped supporting it, so it no longer has a driver which builds with the kernel version that Ubuntu uses. So for the past 6 months, I've been using a backported kernel, which somehow supports the driver for the old graphics card. So anyway, I threw that away and I bought an AMD APU, which is like a system on a chip which has accelerated 3D graphics and CPU on the same chip.
Oh, right. On the motherboard?
Yes. Oh, well, cool. you buy it as a separate chip and plug it into the socket where you'd normally just have the CPU.
Oh, wow.
So that is the integrated graphics.
Oh, well, that's... Oh, okay. Sounds cool.
Yes.
I didn't know you could do that.
No, you can now. Right. Because AMD now own ATI.
Yeah.
So they've got the graphics manufacturing capacity as well as the CPU manufacturing capacity. So you can buy a sort of all-in-one thing, which is, you know, it's cheaper than buying all the bits. And it was, you know, not that much more expensive than just upgrading the discrete graphics card, which I had.
Okay.
And yeah, it works really well. It's what the, I think the Xbox is going to be using, new Xbox is going to be using one, and the, new PlayStation, I think, is going to be using one as well, because it means that you get... I suppose it's probably lower power usage as well.
Has it got flashing lights on it?
No flashing lights, I'm afraid. But it was an interesting experience going from... because I also upgraded Ubuntu in the process, so I had to disable the 3D graphics drivers, swap out the motherboard and the graphics card, and then plug the hard drive into the new one, boot up, and then update and enable the graphics drivers.
Right.
And it all worked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But it's still one of the nice things about Linux, the fact that you can move your installs between machines and it doesn't
say, oh my god, the hardware has changed, how dare you.
Yeah, you're obviously a pirate.
Yes.
No, absolutely. I think I've had the same install since about 2006 and it's just been moved from computer to computer, not longer.
When my work laptop broke down and I needed to get the motherboard replaced, and I said, have you got a spare laptop I can use? And the guy's like, well, what version of Windows have you got? And I was like, well, it's not Windows, it's Linux. Oh, that's fine then. So I took it down, swapped hard drives. It just worked. It was brilliant. He was dead impressed. Tony.
Yes, Laura, what have you been doing?
Okay, I've got a new job.
Oh, okay. What job?
I'm going to be a community manager type.
Oh, so you're not going to
join the ranks of the internet's John O'Bacon.
Yes, that's right.
And the internet's Andy Piper.
And the internet's on, yes.
And so you're not going to be working for a living, you're going to be getting...
Tweeting.
Tweeting and writing blog posts.
Yes.
Okay, well, are you going to start barbecuing lots of food as well, like John O does?
I didn't know that was a prerequisite.
I think it is.
Which community are you managing?
Have a look at my Twitter feed, you'll probably be able to guess.
Okay, I don't have time to do that now, why don't you tell me?
I think you should.
Okay.
All right, okay. And that's a lesson for all the listeners at home as well, presumably?
Yes.
Excellent. Cool. Right. Well, I've been experimenting with
since we asked.
Since you didn't ask.
Well, I started to ask and you wouldn't let me.
There was just an awkward pause. I've been experimenting with internet meat.
Internet meat?
Yep.
Is that where you meet people on the internet?
it's meat that comes from the internet.
I don't think that's real.
You go to
Is this like some VAT-grown genetic experiment?
Maybe. Basically, you go to a website and then a van pulls up at your house and a man gives you some meat.
Massive box of meat.
Big meat.
I see.
Yeah.
And is it tasty?
It is very tasty, yeah.
To be fair, it's better than what you get from the supermarket.
Apologies to any vegetarians listening, having to hear about Tony's meat adventures.
Well, we also get vegetables through the post sometimes, so...
You didn't order them, they would just push through the letterbox.
Run of beans, they finish.
probably get on with the show.
That's why. Anyway.
Yeah. So let's listen to the interview with Daniel while we go and have some cake. I mean, all vegetables.
Part way through, you might hear somebody trying to push some vegetables through the letterbox.
Yeah. There were occasional little dropouts on the connection with Daniel, but we tried to clean them up as best we can in the time we have available to us. So hopefully you will enjoy the interview. Whenever we ask our listeners for ideas of people to speak to, we always get a lot of feedback about wanting to hear from people from Ubuntu derivatives. And the one that was at top of the list this time round was Elementary OS. So we are very pleased to have on the line Daniel from Elementary. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. So please tell us, what is Elementary OS?
Elementary OS is, like you said, a derivative of Ubuntu, focused on bringing great design through our new GTK desktop.
Okay. So if you haven't heard of Elementary, what would people experience when they boot it up for the first time?
I think the biggest difference that people will see between Elementary and most other distros is that we actually have a suite of apps and a desktop environment all designed based around the same OS concept. So it's very much as if GNOME or KDE got together and built a distro based around their specific experience.
So the idea of KDE and GNOME collaborating and building a distro together could produce some rather horrific images in people's minds. But I guess you're looking for the best of that possible collaboration.
Sorry, I meant like a vertical integration is what I meant to say.
So you meant like a KDE desktop with lots of all the KDE style apps in a distro rather than bits of KDM, though. Right, okay. So does that mean that you're not using either KDE or GNOME?
No, we actually have our own new GTK-based desktop called Pantheon that we've been developing for the past couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And is that an entire environment? What is he within Pantheon?
Yeah, it's everything. A window manager called Gala. You know, it's our file browser, our application launcher, Slingshot, a panel system. We use indicators that are compatible with the Ubuntu Iotana spec. We have a system settings app, all the basics you'd expect from your standard DE.
So what was the objective behind Elementary OS?
Originally, it started out from you know, most FOSS projects as kind of scratching our own niche. And it was a thing of we wanted to build these great apps and this great experience. And we started putting that together and we went, it'd be great if we had a DE for these all to live in. And then it kind of kept snowballing to where we're like, wow, it'd be great to have a distro for this DE to live in so we could package it up and ship it all together to a user the way that we intended them to experience it.
So who is it behind Elementary OS? Is it a group of contributors or is there a company?
It's just a community of contributors. We don't have any employees whatsoever. It's probably 20 to 30 part-time high school and college students just trying to make something new and fun.
Why base it on Ubuntu?
Ubuntu worked out for us in a lot of ways as far as not only just because there's such great support from third parties as far as hardware vendors and things like Steam popping up and things like that, but also because of the services associated with Ubuntu, like Launchpad. Without everything provided by Launchpad, I'm not sure that Elementary would have been possible.
So were you Ubuntu users before you decided to start developing Elementary?
I'm not sure I can speak for everyone, but personally I was. I used Ubuntu since Hardy Heron.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a fair while ago.
And you mentioned that most of your contributors are from high school and college. Is there a particular reason that you think it's sort of quite a young base of committers, sort of, as an average age? Or is it just that, people knew each other from college or high school and got together that way?
It's not necessarily that people knew each other, because we're spread out in all different countries. I'm not sure if it's just the attitude that we have in general, or the kind of spin that we put on things, maybe a design focus that we have.
So are you kind of...
But like you said, we definitely are attracting a lot of younger users.
Mm. So are you, again, not necessarily expect you to speak for everybody, but in general, are you sort of computer science students, or is there a wider range?
I myself am not a computer science student. I know we have several contributors that are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the things that I noticed when I fired up Elementary for the first time was that it looks quite a lot like Mac OS X, Mac OS X. Is that a deliberate move?
We've had that comment a lot in the past, and not necessarily. We try to take inspiration from everywhere. You could see, like, the way our app launcher behaves is reminiscent of the new app launcher in Chrome OS. Our panel looks a lot like the one from GNOME Shell. The way we have, the dock is similar to OS X. But Unity also has a dock, Windows 7 had a dock style. So I think in some ways, some of the design things are just hiding in plain sight, where, it makes sense to do things that way.
Do you have a lot of designers among your contributors?
As far as main recurring designers, we have just two, myself and Cassidy James. We had another guy who was contributing a lot for a while, but, he got busy with school and things. We've had people just drop mock-ups here and there or make small contributions.
When I was looking through the website at what's included in Elementary OS, I noticed that you make quite clear that there's a load of pre-included apps which have been selected by specific criteria, but a lot of them I hadn't really heard of before. I mean, there's a couple in there like Midori, the web browser, Geary, the email client, which I'd seen around, but the others seem to have sort of been beneath my radar. So where did all these come from, and what made you choose to select them?
Almost all of the apps that we ship default are things we've really created ourselves.
Right, okay.
And this arised from a need of having things be consistent and fit in with the overall vision. When we had an app like Midori that was menu-less, and we thought, oh, this is really great, why aren't other apps doing this? And so we went with that direction with Nautilus originally back before we created our own file browser, and we started looking at other apps and the consistency issues that they had, and we just came to the conclusion that we'd need to start building our own apps to really give this great consistent experience.
Is the workload of maintaining and developing those apps a lot? Is there other concerns about how you can support that?
Yeah, if you are a fan of Olo.net, they're kind of estimation of the cost of our code base is at about $7 million right now, so it's a lot of code. There's a lot of code, so sometimes it's stressful, when you have one or two people maintaining three or four projects, but the more attention that we get, the more people help out, and now we've got to the point where we have two or three developers to one project.
So when did you start?
I'd say the absolute origins of Elementary probably started in 2007 or 2008. Mm-hmm. But it really kicked into gear when we started developing Luna in 2010.
Okay.
So is that when you made your first release calling it Elementary?
We actually made our first release Jupyter, which was a lot closer to Ubuntu. We used GNOME 2, mm-hmm. and we only had a couple of the custom apps we had started to develop. And after that release, when we started getting a little more attention, a little more developer power behind it, that's when we really started to evolve as a community and build a real, true new operating system.
So how many people are involved, now who regularly contribute?
We probably have 20 to 30 regular contributors. Over the lifetime of the project, I think we've probably seen 200 or so. Right. You know, people come and go.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does it mean? At the moment, it says on the website that you can get a beta version of Elementary OS. What does it mean to you as a project to, you know, what, when is it stable? What says this is version 1.0 or whatever you decide to call it?
Right. That's always the big question is people are asking, you know, when's it ready? Because we don't want to provide a static release date. And the real answer to that is kind of when our users let us know that it's ready, we pay attention to our bug reports really closely. They're very important to us, and we really value our users' feedback. And as long as we're still getting reports from users that they're having show-stopping issues, then I think it's not quite ready yet. As soon as we can resolve our users' issues and make sure that we're providing something that isn't just breaking terribly on people's machines, I think at that point, then we can call it stable.
Do you find that as you're in the middle of development and then a new version of Ubuntu comes out, does that tend to knock you back, or is it fairly smooth moving from one version of Ubuntu to the next?
We haven't had that problem yet because we're based on 12.04 LTS right now.
Right.
So we'll see. What happens when the next LTS comes out.
So, is it a decision that you're only going to go from LTS release to LTS release?
At the moment, that's sort of the unspoken plan. We don't currently offer an upgrade path from 12.04 to 12.10. which is based off of 12.04. But in the future, we're not quite sure exactly what we want to target with the possibility of Ubuntu going to a rolling release.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next?
We still have to make sure that we get Luna Stable out the door, and we're hoping to do that relatively soon. We're getting a lot less show-stopping reports from our users.
Mm-hmm.
And after Luna, there's going to be a big period where we're upgrading everything to the newest libraries, the newest GTK, you know, Pulse Audio, things like that, upgrading our base. And also, you know, we want to get excited about things like touch and social integration and online accounts.
Are you looking for more developers or more contributors in other ways?
Yeah, absolutely. We're always looking for people to come help out on the project.
Is there like specific areas where you're looking for people at the moment?
Developers are always in high demand. If you know C or Vala, you're especially valuable.
Right.
But even if you don't have programming experience, we can always use people to help track down bug reports or with mm-hmm. translations or to triage existing reports or help support other users.
So if anyone wants to get involved or just to try out Elementary OS, where do they find out more?
You can go to our website, www.elementaryos.org, and there's actually a link called Get Involved.
Oh, brilliant. Excellent. Does it go to /get involved?
You know, it should, but I don't know off the top of my head. I can't guarantee it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming on to talk to us, Daniel. I can tell from our feedback from our listeners that Elementary's got a lot of people quite excited. And I must admit, from the bit of experimentation I've done with it as well, it certainly looks very slick already. And with a bit more polish before the release is final, it looks like it can really be a useful alternative to Ubuntu on the desktop. So congratulations to you and the rest of the Elementary team.
Thank you very much.
Cool. And thank you very much indeed for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Cheers. I'll speak to you soon. Cheers then.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now it's time for some command line love.
Wow. That was deep. Quite literally. Right.
Dear me.
What's the command I love this time, Mark?
It's Ubuntu support status.
And what does Ubuntu support status do?
Well, Tony. No, that was no. It tells you the support status of your package.
Right. Okay.
I believe.
Yes.
You ran it, so you tell me.
Yep. So it shows you how many packages you have and when they are supported until.
Oh, that's cool.
So, for example, I ran it on my netbook and it said I have 1,997 packages, 80% of the ones that are installed, and they're supported until January 2014, which is when the support for 12.10 finishes.
Right.
which is what I'm running, so that makes sense, I think. And I have 12 packages that are supported until March 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why only 12 or where they've come from. But
so presumably they're still from 1204? Is that one?
Well, March 2014 is longer than January 2014, so I'm a bit confused.
Oh, right, yes.
But yes, you can actually run it with some extra switches that will tell you the details.
Right. I'm guessing because the support commitment for the releases has changed in the past, so perhaps you've got some packages from...
Yes.
Which you have you upgraded your laptop or lots. Have you reinstalled? Yeah, in that case, you might have some packages that are left over from a previous install, which were supported for longer.
Possibly.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
So do you have to download this or is it already there?
Well, it's already there on my machine. So right. It's quite useful to be able to see what's going on with your machine.
Especially, I imagine, if you've got a server, which is mission critical.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to check when you need to start doing upgrades.
Yes, and conveniently also tells you packages you've got that are not supported at all anymore anyway,
mm-hmm.
And ones that can no longer be downloaded, so presumably aren't being updated.
Right, yes.
So another kind of useful way to be able to look at what's on your system. Yeah, check it out, I say. Ubuntu support status. Do that.
Cool. And now it's time for your feedback.
Hooray!
And Comet Cycle tweeted us to say...
A morning full of Lauras. Listened to two on the UUPC podcast, and then another as coach on this couch. Oh, on NHS couch to 5K run. So somebody else called Laura's coaching him, presumably, on a couch or something.
A trio of Lauras.
Yes.
Yeah. We also heard from Aditya Patidir on Twitter... Addy the Star on Twitter.
UPC, hey, this is... Sorry. At UPC, hey, this is Aditya from India. And I just want to say I love this podcast and its presenters. Probably a little bit less now.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry about that.
And this came in from Lopta.
I like a podcast that makes me laugh loudly while I'm driving.
That sounds safe.
Yeah. I think under the new rules that they just announced here in the UK, you can probably find £100 for listening to the Ubuntu podcast while driving.
Yes. Driving under the influence of the Ubuntu UK podcast.
Yes, indeed.
Let us know.
Not while you're driving, please. Expert on the capacitive properties of teapots, Phelan Whiteley, emailed in.
Really been enjoying the show. Not sure about the 30-minute shows. I like both the weekly dose, but also feel a bit sad when they're over so quick. But I guess I like them. I remember at the start of the season, you were playing on interviewing more derivatives, and I asked about Kubuntu. Is it still on the cards? Is it some anti-KDE conspiracy due to Jonathan Riddell's criticism of Canonical shocked inhaling? I also know you might not want to read this out. Understandable, so don't worry.
It's all right. Alan's not here this week, so we can talk about this.
We're free from the oversight of the Canonical Gestapo who are investigating us.
Didn't we actually interview John Riddell this season?
I think we interviewed him towards the end of last season, right. And we certainly interviewed him at least twice in previous seasons and things
as
well.
Just interviewed an Ubuntu derivative.
Yeah, we've interviewed one just then, but we also interviewed one earlier this season as well. So we are keen, of course, to keep talking to people, and people like Jonathan can come on and tell us what's new. We just don't like to repeat ourselves too often.
We've had a voicemail from down under.
What an extraordinary voice message. The person extension 1000 is unavailable. If I've rung the UK podcast, then hello from Melbourne, Australia. You're not alone. There are people listening to you, albeit a hell of a long way away. Lovely to have some intelligent ladies on the line there listening to and talking about, well, from Ubuntu. Anyway, so yes, you are loved. 24-hour flights away, but you are, and luckily the calls these days cost about nothing, so keep up the good work. One day you might have even an operating system that can be sold alongside Windows, but...
Yeah, there we go.
Wow. Oh, thank you.
So we are loved in Australia.
That's good.
Yeah, and hopefully somewhere else a bit closer. But yes, it's always nice to hear that you love us. Why not, you know,
send us a voicemail.
Send us a voicemail telling us that you love us. In fact, if you listen now, you'll find out how you can do that.
The Ubuntu Podcast needs you. Yes, you. If there's something you think we should talk about or someone we should talk to, tweet at UUPC or email podcast@ubuntu-uk.org. You can also talk to us on the telephone, Skype, Facebook, and Google+. Find links to all these places on our website, podcast.ubuntu-uk.org. And remember, if we don't hear from you, we might not have enough content. And that can only mean one thing, more quizzes.
And that's it for this episode. Join us on Wednesday the 19th of June at 19:30 UTC for our next live episode. That's 20:30 BST for those in the UK.
How far into the summer do we have to be before we stop telling people what the time in the UK is as opposed to UTC?
I don't know.
About October.
I'm very cautious after angry emails we've had regarding time zones in the past.
Yeah, those are like 3 years ago. That was season
and
four.
And they still hurt.
Yeah, and the clock's changed every 6 months and everybody's still confused.
Yeah, but I it confuses me having to read that out and I think every time whether we need to change it or not.
Maybe we should switch to internet time.
What's internet time?
I think Swatch defined it. It's like a decimal time a day is one and it's divided into fractions of a day.
We could just do it in binary time.
No. No, this all hurts. Internet time is one thing. Binary time is another thing.
Well, binary time is just a representation of normal time.
Of it's the one that Andy SC's got on his flip flapper thing.
Tablet?
No.
Flip flapper thing.
Second Life. It's just a binary representation of Unix time, I think.
I've seen binary clocks which are like binary coded decimal of so you 12 is like a binary coded decimal of 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Which I used to have one of those sitting on my desktop to when I was studying computing at college to help me
you practice
do binary quickly.
I think one thing is probably guaranteed though, no matter what time we say in the show, there'll always be somebody who turns up just after we've finished in the IRC channel saying, oh, when does the show start?
Yes.
Yeah, that always happens.
And we go, yeah, you just missed the whole thing. You can download it tomorrow, though, so that's okay.
Yes, or half of it tomorrow.
Yeah, one and half of, yes, something like that. So, yeah, hopefully Alan will be back with us next time, I guess.
Ooh, unless he finds a new excuse.
Yeah.
So hopefully he doesn't get, you know, taken by pirates or anything.
Yeah, are there a lot of those near Birmingham?
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, somebody sold off his boat for scrap or something. I think his car broke down as well, so he tried to get that fixed. But yes, anyway, thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you next time.
Bye!